Now, we're looking on this message at some Christmas scriptures. Now, I know that when we get into the thing about Christmas, that many people have different views about whether they celebrate Christmas and whether it's a Christian holiday and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible talked about in the book of Romans, you know, that one man esteem a day higher than another day. So, in other words, I'm not mad at you if you don't celebrate Christmas. I don't think you ought to be mad at me if I do celebrate it. Now, there are certain things about the holiday that I do not go along with. But when we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ, then I believe that really it's a good way to preach the gospel and let people know about how Jesus came into this world as a man and took our place on Calvary. Now, as we begin to study some of these scriptures, I realize that Jesus was not born on Christmas Day. Probably, if you study the Bible and compare it, he's probably born just the opposite, probably born 6 months earlier, probably in June, in that time of the year. But let me just say it like this, and this is what I always say about it. If my birthday is in September, and I can't help that, it's just the way it happened, you know, I'm born in September. And so if you want to celebrate my birthday in March, I'm not going to be mad at you. If you send me a birthday gift in March, I'm not going to send it back to you. It'll be fine. Amen. If you bake me a birthday cake in March. So when you want to honor the Lord, it's okay with me. But I'm going to focus on the Bible. I'm not going to focus on the holiday. I'm focused on the Bible. I call the title of the message Christmas Scriptures as we enter into this Christmas season. So I want you to get your Bibles and just follow with me through some scriptures. All I'm going to do, no fancy outline or anything. I'm just going to follow through some scriptures. Let's pray together. Father, will you help this time and use it for your glory? I confess every sin. Help me to uplift you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them first with me to the book of Isaiah, please. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 7. Isaiah, chapter number 7. And I want to read the great Christmas verse there, the great verse that we use this time of the year, and we can use it any time of the year, but I'm going to give some explanation about it, okay, that I feel like that is not preached very much at all. Let's look at verse 14. The Bible said, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, let me just stop right there and tell you a little bit about what chapter 7 is about. In chapter number 7, Isaiah is the prophet here. All right? Ahaz is the king of Judah. Now, Israel, which is referred to as Ephraim in this chapter, and Syria have gotten together. And they've decided to go up against Jerusalem and set up a puppet king. Now, wait a minute. On the surface, that may not look wrong, but it was wrong, because here's the thing. The Bible talked about that he would come from Judah, talking about the Messiah. The Bible, Jesus, God, promised the house of David the throne of David, and the king should be from the tribe of Judah. Now, I don't know what tribe that this other fellow was from that they're going to put on the throne, but they were going to do it. And so the prophet Isaiah goes to Ahaz, who is a wicked fellow. Now, I have to believe, and some of you would disagree with me here, but if you'll read the scriptures real carefully, I sort of believe Ahaz was saved, and I'm going to tell you why I do. The Bible talked about his God. His God. I believe in the book of Kings, he referred to God as his God, as Ahaz's God. You can be saved and walk far away from God. Now, but Ahaz, the Lord, now the Jew requires a sign, all right? And the God does not give signs today, because we're living in the dispensation of grace, and we're living in the day God's dealing with the Gentiles as a whole. God still will save Jews too, but the dispensation is grace. So the thing is, back in that day, the Jews required a sign. And so Ahaz, the prophet Isaiah, went to Ahaz and said, look, said, the Lord asked the Lord to give you a sign. Now, it wasn't tempting the Lord. It wasn't wrong. God wanted him to ask for a sign. And Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not asking for a sign. He said, I'm not going to do that. He said, that would be tempting the Lord. Well, he had this kind of this fake spirituality about him, and a lot of people have, you know. And so anyway, he rebelled against the Lord by not asking a sign. But God gave the sign anyway. What God was trying to do, because these wicked kings, the leaders of Syria and Israel, were trying to destroy the seed line of David. They were trying to disrupt what God had planned. Because of that, God gave the sign anyway. So what was the sign? Now look at verse number 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself, this is talking about the God of glory, the God of heaven, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. All right, he's going to give him a sign. Now, behold, a virgin, and that's key, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we know that Emmanuel, being interpreted, is God with us. And we know that God prophesied here of the virgin birth of Christ. Now, this is not the first prophecy of the virgin birth in the Bible. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible talked about her seed. Now, if you know anything about the human body, you don't have 1 ounce of your mother's blood in you. Amen. But God talked about her seed. Amen. And he prophesied the virgin birth in Genesis chapter number 3. Now, one of your leading so-called versions of the Bible says here in Isaiah 14, it reads, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold the virgin. No, it's not what it said. You see, if you read a Bible and it says the virgin, then it's elevating Mary to a status that she is not. And we'll discuss that later. You know, a lot of people get carried away with this Christmas stuff. And, you know, there's no such thing as Christmas magic and Christmas angels and all this. And I'll tell you, you watch a lot of these movies and things, and I don't make anybody mad, but, people incorporate that into their lives. There's no such thing as Christmas magic. Amen. I want you to understand that. But I will say that God is to be glorified and magnified. Now, the virgin birth was prophesied here that it would happen. Let me just stop and tell you this, that the devil hates the virgin birth of Christ. The devil hates that. Now, I believe personally, and when you give an opinion, you need to stop and say that. And really, I shouldn't even give you what I believe, but I would not doubt, I'll put it that way, if the Antichrist does not come into the world of a woman of an ill reputation. I would not doubt that at all. You see, the devil does everything. Of course, he's got a counterfeit for everything that Jesus does. And we're living in a day of blasphemy. But the devil hates the fact that Jesus was virgin born. He came from a virgin womb, went to a virgin tomb, and rose. Amen. Of course, he's in heaven before that. Amen. He is God the Son. He's virgin born. So his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so Isaiah is saying here is God prophesied the virgin birth, and he's really telling these two kings of Syria and Israel, what you're doing is not gonna stop the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your plan's going to fail, and it did fail. They didn't get the job done. They didn't conquer Ahaz. The Bible said they couldn't overcome him. And the reason they couldn't overcome him was it wasn't anything that Ahaz done. It was because of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so now we'll move on here, and let me read a little bit of this in Matthew chapter number 1. Now, when Matthew wrote about Jesus Christ, Matthew presented him as a king. And Matthew presented him to the Jews and presented his heritage, his lineage, and his seed line. So here's what Matthew said in Matthew 1:18. The Bible said, now the birth, let me just start reading here. All right, now this is more scripture I'm going to read. And so if you want to get your Bibles, you turn with me to Matthew chapter number 1. All right, so we'll go now from Isaiah 7:14, talking about the virgin birth. By the way, God honored that birth. God stopped those wicked men from trying to do what they was going to do, destroy the seed line of the king. Now, Matthew, by the way, in Matthew chapter number 1, in the early part of the chapter, I think this is where I wanted to get to, and I think my outline here, or my notes here, tripped me up. I don't really have an outline, but the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look in that seed line, amen, you will see Ahaz there, and you will see, and so God perfected what he wanted to start. The devil hated that, even in the early days. You remember, Adam, had two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel was of the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ, and although he was the youngest son because Cain turned from God, Cain rejected God in Genesis chapter number 4. But you remember that, that God raised up, in other words, Cain killed Abel. And you remember that God raised up Seth. Remember that? God raised up Seth. And she said that, Lord, give me seed instead of, you know, whom Cain slew. And I'm not quoting it word for word there in the book of Genesis. But the devil has got a plan, but God's plan's always greater. Amen. Now, let's move on to another section of scriptures, Matthew chapter number 1, and we'll look at it. Now, Matthew 1, verse number 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, and the Bible makes it plain, Mary is his mother, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to stop right here and say this. The words, Psalm 19 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, okay? And I want to just stop and say this. Contrary to what I've heard a lot of preachers say and a lot of people say, there is not one verse in this King James Bible that cannot be preached in public. It's not the Bible that's the problem. It is your worldly mind that is the problem, okay? So God made the words clear here that Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My friend of Joseph, he's not the father of Jesus Christ, but God chose him. Mary and Joseph were two fine, young people that God used. Oh, God, give us some families today like Mary and Joseph that would be used for the glory of God. We'll get into Mary a little bit later, but a very unique experience that Mary had in this day. And Joseph went along with it also. And Joseph was a man that feared the Lord. Now, we don't know a lot about Joseph. We know that he disappeared from the scene of Scripture after Jesus was found in the temple when he was 12 years old. We know that Joseph was alive at when Jesus was 12 years old. But after that, Joseph was not alive sometime. And at Calvary, we know that Jesus put Mary, his mother, in the care of the Apostle John. So we don't know what happened to Joseph. In my opinion, he died a fairly young man. But Joseph was a man that was used of God. Now you can imagine something. Let me just explain it like this. Back in those days, the Jews had a little bit different custom than we do today. Their espousal periods or engagement periods were very serious. Okay? They were very serious and they were almost like contracts of marriage. They were very strong. And the Jewish man would probably not see his wife for maybe a year after they got espoused to each other. And he would go make a home and a place for her. And then he would come and he would marry her. And it was a big celebration. Weddings were big things in that day. Jesus turned the water into wine. His first miracle he did at a wedding. Now, but here is Joseph. He's espoused to this little girl. They're both in Nazareth, and all of a sudden, she's with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, very serious thing back in those days, very serious to those Jews, you see. All right, so, let's see here. All right, now, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 19. Now, here we go. Then Joseph, her husband, and it used the word husband here, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. In other words, it's just like a marriage. He could write her a bill of divorce, but he could dissolve that espousal. Now, Joseph had compassion here. You say, well, how do you know he had compassion? Well, the Bible said that he was not willing to make her a public example. Joseph didn't do like some of you have done who have gotten divorces and you've got on social media and you've got everywhere and you've just trashed the other person. You've trashed your husband or you've trashed your wife. And I mean, you've just been mean and ugly about it and you want to pull everybody else into it. And I want to say, bad things do happen to good people. And bad things happen to Christians sometimes. But if you're in that case, get on your knees and stay with God. And don't mouth your spouse or your, listen, because kids are involved sometimes and churches are involved and people just try to pull everybody into their situations. And when I was a young fella, I used to have situations in the ministry and I'd try to pull everybody into them. Well, nowadays, if I have a situation come up, I don't even like to talk to anybody about it. Amen. Just deal with it and pray to the Lord. hard, and God help it. If you have to seek advice, seek it from wise people that want that, that can conceal a matter, and just not. Now, I'm not talking about covering sin. Now, I'm talking about things sometimes that happen, and you don't want to draw a bunch of people. If I can just get them on my side, no. It's not about that. And so Joseph wasn't like that. He's a very compassionate man, and he said, "Well, I don't understand this." I'm espoused to her. I thought she was a good girl, and now I find out she's with child. I don't know how to handle this thing. And he's just thinking about it. He's just thinking, well, I put her away privately. I don't want to do it publicly. I don't want to make a public example. You know why he loved her? No doubt Joseph loved her. And I want to say this to you. If you love somebody, it makes a difference. I want you to understand that. And this falling in and out of love, I don't know about that. Amen. I'm going to leave that to the country music singers. But I'm going to tell you something today, friend, that if you love somebody, my mama, and I don't understand it, but my mama loved my daddy with a great love. My daddy was a hard man to deal with, and my mama got married to him in 1962. And she stayed married to him. Well, they's married till he died in 2015, but they finally got away from each other when about 2010. So they lived many years together. But it was turmoil. It was trouble. But my mama loved him all my life. And somebody asked one day, said, "I don't understand." Said, "You know, my daddy had gotten sick and he's in the nursing home, and mama, went down to see him, and we took mama down there, and mama sat there. Daddy couldn't eat. He'd had a stroke and all that. And mama's feeding him ice cream." And somebody asked me about all that. Why did she go down there? You know, they'd been separated for 5 years. Why'd she go? I said, "I'll tell you why she went. Because she loved him." Amen. Mama didn't want to see him die. No, sir. I remember they even had to make the phone call and tell my brother that my daddy had died. I remember that. Amen. And let me just say this to you, my friend. I believe that a lot of people have gotten a divorce, family members and other people have gotten involved in this. But Joseph did the right thing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Joseph contacted his father and mother and said, "What do y'all think about this? Well, that sorry girl down there that I'm espoused to, why she's done got with child, and what do y'all think I ought to do here?" And he didn't go to the town elders. He didn't go to you know what he did? He waited on the Lord. He thought on this thing. He thought about it. All right, as he was thinking about it, here's what happened in verse number 20. Now, back in those days. Now, in this day, we have the entire 66 books of the Bible. We have that, the entire 66 books of the Bible. So God does not work today in visions and dreams and that thing. Now, somebody said, "I had a dream about this." I've had plenty of dreams. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad a lot of them didn't come true. Amen. A dream cometh through a multitude of businesses. A dream comes through you having something on your mind. Back in those days, God worked with people in that dispensation. God worked with people in dreams. Now, so notice verse number 20. In verse number 20, the Bible said, "But while he thought on these things." Now, I'm going to stop right there. Joseph did the right thing. He stopped and thought about it. And you know, if we'd stop and think before we act a lot of times, you know, I live in a part of the United States that is very, very emotional. Now, I believe in emotions. If you, my brother didn't mean to one day and he slammed my finger in a door, I got pretty emotional. I'll promise you, I got pretty emotional. I was going around and around the house outside running around and around and around. Amen. And I got emotional. But you know, many, many times, you know, David, I think about David in the Bible. You remember, Nabal, and Nabal would not give David's servants anything, and they had kept his sheep and all that. And boy, David girded that sword on. David was emotional. And that's the one time that David acted outside the will of God. And buddy, he come for war. He come to kill somebody. And Abigail, God bless Abigail in the Bible, great lady in the Bible, Abigail, and she came to David and basically told him, "Look, if you do this, you know, it's going to be a blemish on you when you get to be king." Now, let me say something. You can go off and you can react to something, but you pastors better remember you'll face it down the road. Don't ever move on emotionalism. Take time and pray about your decisions. You don't have to move today. And if the devil ever tells you, you got to move today. No. Wait upon the Lord. Amen. And I wish we had a generation right now that would learn to wait upon the Lord. Amen. Young preacher, please don't go in your church and pastor it on a whim and do something off the wall, you'll wreck that church. I promise you. I'll tell you what happened. I was pastoring a little country church one time. And boy, I tell you, I had some crazy ideas when I first started pastoring. And we had a service that morning. They got testifying in Sunday school. And I jumped up, you know, and had more mouth than I did anything else. And I was the pastor. And I said to them that morning, I said, we're going to do something. Ain't nobody done ever done. I never seen this done. I said, we're going to do something. They said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to vote the devil out. I said, all of y'all in favor of voting the devil out, let's vote the devil out. Boy, they amen, amen. Yeah, we'll vote the devil out. But guess what? About an hour later, in the preaching hour, I had something happen that I'll just put it this way, brother. The devil could have got in that church. And let me tell you something. You better be careful about how you make an accusation against the devil. And you better be careful about how you do things on emotion. So now, Joseph, he thought about it. I like that. The Bible said in verse number 20, I'm in Matthew 1 and verse number 20. Matthew 1, 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And that's Jesus Christ right there in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Notice that. Amen. The lineage points all the way back to David. Joseph and Mary were both in that seed line. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, Joseph, he said, don't you fear to take this woman. He said, I've got this. He said, this is my plan. And he's just presenting Joseph with the heavenly plan. Now notice verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou, notice this, shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, Mary, and we'll read the scripture later, but Mary was also commanded to name the Lord Jesus Christ Jesus. And Joseph here is commanded to name him Jesus. Now, they were not commanded at the same time. Two is the number of witness. God protects himself even in the Bible. He does everything decently and in order in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And in two witnesses, he said, Mary, you name him Jesus. Joseph, you name him Jesus. And he didn't tell him this at the same time. And so now he's given Joseph a great responsibility. Now, Joseph was to name the child. And that's what most families did, fathers did. They named the child. Although he wasn't his father, God gave it to him, said, name the child. Name him Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. God gave Israel three things. God gave them the land, and they defiled it. God gave them the law, and they forsook it. God gave them the Lord, and they crucified him on Calvary. Now, here's Joseph, all right? Now, the Lord's come to him, all right? And he said he saved people from his sin. Now, look at verse 22, Matthew 1, 22. Now, all this was done that the Bible said, it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, verse number 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Remember that again, a virgin, not the virgin, a virgin, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now he's telling Joseph what's going to happen here. And this is fulfilled. By the way, God fulfilled all the scripture. What he's telling us what's going to happen here. He fulfilled all scripture. Now, Jesus Christ and Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is quoted more in the New Testament than any other Old Testament book. Now, Isaiah had some prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, Isaiah speaks of his birth in chapter 7. He speaks of his death and resurrection in chapter 53. And here, we find this scripture was fulfilled. Now, God gave this King Ahaz a sign. And now, 700 years later, the virgin birth is being fulfilled. Now, I'm going to say this. God don't get in a hurry. Somebody said, well, preacher, I've heard about the Lord coming all of my life. Well, you may have heard about him coming, but I'll tell you this, he's still coming. God don't get in a hurry just because you think he ought to. By the way, preachers, deacons, churches, God don't get in a hurry. Amen? God don't get in a hurry. And you understand that. Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that. Do you? You better wait on the Lord. Now, I believe there's a time that you don't, you know, in other words, there's a time to move forward. And God will let you know when it's time to move forward. But 700 years, this prophecy was there. And God fulfilled every word that he said he would fulfill. Now, Let me go on here and look at Matthew chapter 1, verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now let me stop right there. You know what Joseph did? He obeyed the Lord. He did exactly what the Lord told him to do. It was the equivalent of us today reading the Bible and the Bible telling us what to do, and we do it. You see, God worked with him in a dream. God don't have to work with us in dreams. We have the entire Word of God. I want to ask you a question. Jesus is never going to appear to you in a vision. I want you to understand that on the radio. He don't work that way. You say, well, how does Jesus talk to me? In the Bible. In the Bible. How much Bible do you get in you? I'm talking about the King James Bible, the inspired Word of God for our generation. This Bible. God talks to you through the Bible. You want to know about God? Get in His Bible. Don't necessarily, and by the way, books are fine. I got books in my office. I've got more books and I know what to do with. But I'm going to tell you, the more I read the Bible, that's my number one book. Amen. These other books are all right, but they're man's opinion. But God's Word is God's Word. And don't let anybody shake you from the Bible. The King James Bible does not have one mistake in it. And the translators did not make a mistake. I want you to understand that. I believe that ought to be preached today. If you believe that the translators made a mistake in the King James Bible, then you got problems. Amen. I believe my Bible word for word. And I'm going to continue to believe it. I believed it all these years and it ain't never failed me. So here's the thing about it. Joseph did exactly what God told him to do. Now I want to ask you, are you doing exactly what God's telling you to do in this Christmas season? Are you doing what God has told you to do? God's told some of you, you need to get saved. Are you going to get saved? Are you going to die and go to hell without God? Are you going to turn to the liquor again this Christmas and beat your family and run them off from home and bust up the furniture and make your kids hate you? Are you going to do that again this year? Are you going to get saved and live for God? Well, some of you might need to preach. Some of you boys, amen, you need to preach. God's told you to preach. You going to preach? God may have called some of you the mission field. You going to go this year? Are you going to just let it drag on and bypass the will of God? You know what God told Joseph? He said, you do this, said you name. And Joseph obeyed the Lord and took her as his wife. Now, verse 25, the Bible said, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And God put that in there to keep everything right. Amen. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph fulfilled what God told him to do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that God, amen, gives us instructions, and then when we obey them, that's where God blesses. Now, I'm glad, by the way, God picked two young people here, Mary and Joseph, young people, probably 20-year-old, probably somewhere in that area. And God picked these two, and knowing they would follow the will of God Almighty. Ain't that a wonderful thing? That's a blessing. By the way, God still uses young people. Amen. There are some young people that believe you ought to go to church three times a week. Amen. There are some young people that are not just Sunday morning Christians. There are some that are in there serving the Lord. I want to encourage you young people. Maybe you don't go to church regular, but you ought to get started. This next year, you ought to get started in church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Get started in old-fashioned Bible, preaching Bible. Not necessarily old-fashioned, but a Bible preaching church. Amen. Where they preach the King James Bible. Get started somewhere. And live for God and walk with God in this day. And that's what God, by the way, that's what will save this country. Did you know that? That's what will save this country. Now let's go on in some more scriptures. That's the this set of scriptures here. Now I want to deal, I've dealt with Isaiah 7:14. And so now I want to deal with some scriptures over in the book of Luke. I want to deal with some scriptures in the book of Luke, if you have your Bibles with me. The Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke, and Dr. Luke was amazing. Dr. Luke really probably wrote more of the New Testament than Paul did because his books were bigger. But Dr. Luke was a medical doctor. He was a physician. And so he wrote many things that, from the medical standpoint, Dr. Luke did. But now I want you to notice chapter number 1, and we begin at verse number 26. Luke, and we're talking about Christmas scriptures here. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. The Bible said, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nathanael had said later, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth wasn't probably a good place to live, but that's where Mary and Joseph lived. And by the way, God uses people sometimes from poor areas. God uses people in less desirable areas. Sometimes God uses the lowest people of the earth to get his job done. And I think in this day of being intellectually correct and getting all of our words in place and all of our doctrines in place and all of our labels in place, I think we forgot something. You know, we classify the preachers of 50 years ago back in the hills as being ignorant and unlearned, and we don't want to listen to them preach. But let me say this about that. Thank God for the heel preachers. Thank God for those that maybe their name has never been on a sign somewhere, but they've preached the gospel. And they've got. And by the way, our streets were safer back in those days. People are getting saved back in those days. Churches having revivals back in those days. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get back somewhat to the simplicity, amen, of serving the Lord. We're going to have to. There's nothing wrong with being intellectually smart. There's nothing wrong with knowing your Bible. There's nothing wrong with writing. Dividing the Bible. You should do that. You ought to do that. You need to do that. But I'll say this, let us never get educated above the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. And so here are these two poor people. I don't think they had much at all. And here they are. Now God is going to use them and is using them. And so the angel Gabriel. Now Gabriel is one of the highest ranking angels in heaven. Remember, God used him in the book of Daniel, and God used him again here to come to Elizabeth and Zacharias, and that was Mary's cousin. And that would be John the Baptist's mother and father. They were cousins, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, by his physical birth. And so Gabriel came there to tell Elizabeth. All right, now, 6 months after that, he comes to Mary. All right, now let's just notice what happens here. Verse number 27, the Bible said, now watch this now, there's that word A again, to a virgin. I told you one of the leading false Bibles used in Isaiah, the virgin. Mary is not the virgin, okay? That elevates her above every other virgin, a virgin, and she is not elevated above other virgins. Now let me say, Mary is the only woman on the face of God's earth that ever had a boy without a man. All right, I give you that. I agree with that. But God also did some other. Gideon's the only one that ever defeated an army with 300 people too. Amen. Moses is the only man that ever crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Noah's the only man that ever gotten an ark. Amen. So you can't, but here's the thing about it. Here's what I'm trying to say. Mary is, and we're going to see about Mary in just a minute. She's a young lady, but she's not what people elevate her, try to put her at today. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. All right. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and of the and the virgin's name was Mary. Now we'll stop right there in verse number 27. Now again, they bring up the house of David, and that's bringing it right in line with the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. God promised David a man would not fail him to sit on the throne. Now the Jews were looking for a Messiah at this time to be their king. And Jesus Christ was more interested in saving the soul than he was saving the nation right here. Okay, so they're looking for a king. He's not ready for that. That's not what he came for. The Bible, remember what he told Joseph? He should come to save his people from their sins. Now, God picked this little virgin girl down in Nazareth. God picked her. Amen. Probably a terrible place to live, but she's down there and God comes to visit her. Boy, I tell you what, you'll never be the same when God lays something on your heart that he wants you to do. Now, this girl's a young lady again, and God can use you young people. He can use old people. He can use everybody. Amen. Now, verse 27. Well, I read that one, didn't I? Let's go to verse number 28. The Bible said, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Here's this angel. Now he appears to Mary. All right, he appears to her. All right, now let me go back here in let me just read verse 29. Then I want to go back a little bit. The Bible said, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, the salutation is a greeting. And Mary's standing there, and she's thinking, well, what in the world's this about? I mean, huh? What? I mean, she's kind of startled a little bit by this angel coming in and greeting. Now, I'm going to look back now and look at the greeting for a minute. Let's study that just for a minute. All right, so let's go back now to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The Bible said, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that's a greeting, you know, getting her attention. Thou that art highly favored. Let me stop right there. Thou that are highly favored. Now, it didn't say she is only one favored of God, but it says she is highly favored. By the way, a lot of people in the Bible have been highly favored. Now, some people say this, well, God don't love one person more than he does the other one. Let me say this. God does show favor to some people he don't show to others. In this regard, a carnal man that is saved will not experience the favor of God like a righteous man that lives for God. Now, you may not agree with that, but I don't think Lot had the same privilege as Abraham did. Amen. I believe I can find that principle. So this God loves everybody, and God don't have any, no, God don't have any pets, but I'm going to say this to you, that you, how you live your life after you're saved is how you have favor with God. There are people that ain't got favor with God. There's some of you right now, you're saved. But you rebel against the Bible, you rebel against the preacher, you rebel against the church. You really think you've got favor with God? You really think God's happy with you? Well, preacher, I know what that Bible says, but yeah, you're going to do everything your way. Amen. Listen, God is never favorable to rebellious people. Don't you understand? Well, nobody's going to tell me how to do that. Well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. All right, all right. But you're cutting the favor of God. Mary didn't say that. Mary was a young girl. And God said, you're highly favored. God knew. By the way, God only uses people that he knows, that he tests. Now, right over here is a computer sitting over here to my left. And I'm talking straight into this microphone. Now, just about every time that I come in here before I do a radio message, I do some sort of test into this computer system. I test it because I'm getting ready to use it, and I want to make sure all the levels are right and everything, because I don't want, I'm getting too old to preach 50-minute messages and turn around and them be over-modulated or under-modulated or not recorded, you know. And so I test. Now, let me say this to you. Somebody said, oh, I don't like the testing of the Lord. When God tests you, he's getting ready to use you on the next level, my friend. And so Mary here, I don't know what her trials and tests have been. Maybe it was living in Nazareth. But God knew her, and God knew she is capable of the job. Now I want to say, God don't ever call anybody to do anything that he will not take care of that person, okay? Now, we're in verse number 28, and I'm pointing out some things. Highly favored. Notice this. The Lord is with thee. Oh, what a statement. The Lord is with you. Now, I know that when you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes to live on the inside. I understand that. But I tell you, the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, I read it just this morning, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe this. God give us some men that the Lord is with. God give us some preachers that the Lord is with, that you don't stand up and give an intellectual outline. Just to have an outline. I'm going to expound the Bible. Well, okay, but make sure you've got the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not your ability to expound the Scriptures. What it is, it's the ability of God working through you, preacher. Amen. The Bible talked about he can do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Did you know God will only use your message according to how you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you ever preached and preached and wonder why nobody responds to your preaching? I'll tell you why. You read those old men that had those revivals and they stayed in prayer with God. And they fasted and they stayed with God and they talked to God. And when they preached, thousands of people came down. Now you're going to say this to me. Oh, now preacher, we're living in a different day. Oh, that God would take some man somewhere. And oh, that God would fill him with the Holy Ghost. And oh, that there would be a man in our country that would be so yielded to God, God would raise up another D.L. Moody or a Billy Sunday just to show people he can do it again. I get so tired of hearing, oh, nobody's going to get saved, and we're living in the last hour, and we just got to hold what we got. Listen, brother, we're not to hold what we got. We're to go on the offense. The church is to go around the world. We're to spread the gospel. We are to spread this great message of the virgin birth and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are to spread this good news around the world. That's what we're supposed to be doing. doing, and we're supposed to get excited again about Jesus dying and rising again for our sins and sitting on the right hand of the Father. We ought to get excited about that. And oh, that God would be with us. Young man, you college students, oh, that the Lord would be with you. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, God laid something on my heart the other day. And I said, Lord, now I'll do it, but I don't want to do it, Lord, if you're not going to touch me. If you're not going with me, I'm to the age of my life. I want God. I want God more than I want money. I want God more than I want success. I want God more than I want anything in this world. I want the power and the touch of the Holy Ghost. That doctrine's not preached much anymore. It's explained away. Now, you can sit in your Bible college rooms and you can debate. And I don't debate with anybody. And you can do what you want to do, and you can try to explain the touch of God away all you want to explain it. But I'm going to tell you this, I'd rather have God on me. I'd rather have God in my life. I'd rather have God. And by the way, you can be saved. You can preach every Sunday and God not be in your message. I'm just going to tell you that. You know when a man's got a touch of God. What does that mean, preacher? Are you talking about a second blessing? No, sir. I'm talking about absolutely getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Most people are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Most preachers are not. They're filled with sports stars. They're filled with statistics. They're filled with last week's news broadcast. I don't want that. I want to be filled with God. I want God. Amen. I'm not near as concerned about what's going on in Washington as I am in heaven. Amen. I want the power. Now, the Lord's with me. Now, here's the verse. Here's the part of the verse in verse number 28 of Luke chapter 1 that we really need to explain. Blessed art thou, talking to Mary, among women. Now, is that word in your Bible? Get your Bible. Luke chapter number 1, verse 28. And if you believe in underlining your Bible, I want you to underline this word among. A-M-O-N-G. Among. Now, God said, Mary, you are blessed among women. In other words, you're in the middle of them. You're blessed among women. Now, there is a religion that says, that says, blessed art thou above women. God never said it. God never said it. The devil told a lie. The devil told a lie. And may God help us to not fall into things like that. Mary is not blessed above women. By the way, Mary is not a virgin today. Now, again, we get into these Christmas things, and again, I'm not against the holiday I celebrate, but I say to you that I have never seen a vision of the Virgin Mary, because she's not the Virgin Mary. It is very interesting to me, though, that they tag this title on her, the Virgin Mary, the Virgin Mary, the Virgin Mary. It is interesting to me that one of the devil's inspired so-called Bibles, I will not call the Bible's name on the radio, but if you go look at it, it's one of the leading Bibles that all your leading teachers use, and I don't listen to that crowd, but in Isaiah 7:14, again, they say, the Virgin shall conceive, the Virgin. Isn't it amazing they use the same words, the Virgin, the Virgin. Well, I'm not teaching that kind of religion. Mary can't help you go to heaven. Friend, if you're depending on Mary to go to heaven, you'll go to hell. Amen. I promise. Did you know what Mary had to do? Mary had to believe on Jesus Christ just like you do. Jesus was her son. Remember, the Bible said she pondered all these things in her heart. She had to believe just like you, my friend. And Mary's in heaven today because she believed in Jesus. Jesus' brethren, at first, they didn't believe on him, but now they're in heaven. Amen. They're there. Let me say this to you, friend, that Mary is not a virgin. She had other children after Jesus, okay? So God will never give you a vision of the Virgin Mary. You don't have to worry about that. I don't worship a statue to the Virgin Mary. Mary will not take you to heaven. Somebody said, well, if we can get to Mary, she can get to Jesus. No, you got it all wrong. You get to Jesus and he gets to the Father. The Father's the one that's got to have the appeasement for sin. Amen. God the Father's the one, he said in Isaiah that it pleased him to bruise him. The God the Father's the one we're pleasing. And Jesus gets to the Father, not Mary getting to Jesus. Jesus is salvation. He is the vehicle through which salvation came to you and me, you see. And Jesus Christ, amen. So, we find that a lot of misrepresentation about the Virgin Mary. And then I read verse 29, but I'll read it again. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, look at verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not. Now, I want to stop right there. He said, fear not, Mary. All right, now I'm in verse number 30. Fear not, Mary, of Luke chapter 1. Fear not, Mary. Now, here's the thing about it. When God gives you something to do, and it is the will of God for you to do it, you don't have to fear. I want you to understand that. Amen. Some people said, God's called me to mission field. I'm afraid to go. Preacher, God's called me to that church. I'm afraid to go. If it's God's will, you don't have to fear. The blessing of the Lord, it addeth rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs. Amen. Let me say this to you, friend, that you don't have to fear the will of God. I have never had God ask me to do anything that I could not do. Never have. By the way, God never will ask me to do anything that I cannot do. God always asks me to do things that I'm very capable of doing. Amen. And so I want you to understand that God, my friend, is God. And I want you to understand that when he asks you to do something, you don't have to fear about it. Amen. All right. See, he said, for thou hast found favor with God. There it is again. And the latter part of verse 30, you have found favor with God. How do you find favor with God? I'll tell you how. Do his will. Oh, me and God, we got our own thing going. No, 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 no. You find favor with God in the Bible. The Bible said, be ye doers of the word. He said, this man shall be blessed in his work. Amen. Maybe I quote it word for word in the book of James. Be doers of the Bible. Do what God says do. Don't do what man says do. I'll tell you, you'll get somewhere when you pray like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, and your will becomes God's will. Lady, when your will becomes God's will, your family will do something. There's a lot of you ladies holding your husbands back from doing the work of God. As some lady would say, well, I didn't marry a preacher. I want to say something about that lady. If God called your husband to preach, God knew he was going to preach, and you better stick with him. Because I got to warn you about something. There is a judgment seat coming. And if you're saved, it won't be a bowl of banana pudding with whipped cream on top of it that God's going to give you in the judgment if you wreck your husband's life. Amen. You had better be like Sarah, and you'd better be willing to do what God said to do. Amen. That's right. I mean, listen, and you grandparents, amen, you need to stay out of the well. They're taking my grandchildren off to the mission field. Listen, you better stay out of that, friend. They stay at home and don't go because you don't want them to. Those grandchildren may end up in prison one day. Amen. Now, you say, preacher, that's hard preaching. Well, I'm going to say this. America needs to be awakened. Our churches need to be awakened to the fact that you get the favor of God by living right. Look the word righteous up in the Bible. And look at all the promises God gave to the righteous. Now, let me move on. Verse number 31. Luke chapter 1, verse number 31. The Bible says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, talking to Mary, and bring forth a son. Here we go. And shall call his name Jesus. Now, there you go. Before God ever talked to Joseph, God talked to Mary here in Luke. This scripture happened before the scripture in Matthew. And God told Mary to name him Jesus. Now, we just read earlier in the message that God told Joseph to name him Jesus. Number two is the number of witnesses in the Bible. God never leaves himself unprotected. God said, Mary, you name him, and Joseph, you name him, and his name's going to be Jesus. Amen. Think about that name, Jesus. Ain't it wonderful? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Satisfies my soul. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? Now look at verse number 32. The Bible said, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. How about that? Boy, the Lord is great. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, boy, can you imagine Mary standing there and she's thinking, whoa, now what about this? And naturally, her little mind thought he'd be king in that day. Mary probably thought, well, I'll get out of this poor living, and he's going to be king, and I'll live great. That wasn't what Jesus had in mind. He will sit on the throne of his father David. It's just not time yet, but he will. After the rapture will be 7 years of tribulation, and then the 1,000 years of millennial reign will begin, and Jesus will sit on the throne of his father David. And by the way, Israel will get all that land that pertains to them, and Jesus Christ will be king and rule over all nations, even those who do not want him, even those who kick him out. God will rule over all nations. Read Psalm 2. They try to keep God out of society. I mean, the rulers, it said they got together and took counsel. Amen. How to get rid of God? Well, that's what we've done in America. We've voted God out of the school, voted him out of the public places, voted him out of the courtrooms. We've took the Bible out. We've took prayer out. We've replaced it with heathenism and liberalism and atheism. And God's going to judge all that one day. But God will reign as sure as he's going to. Now, verse number 33, the Bible said, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, unlike everybody else, you know, their kingdom has to come to an end. I mean, a mortal king dies. David lived 70 years, he died. Solomon lived, he died. Hezekiah lived, he died. All those kings died. But Jesus Christ is going to reign forever. He ain't going to die. Ain't that good? Amen. You know, you vote a political leader in. If he's good, you got him 4 years in America. If he's bad, you got him 4 years. But what about this? Jesus Christ is going to be the best leader ever been. You got him forever. Ain't that going to be good? Well, brother, that's enough to make us Baptists shout. Amen. I mean, God is good. And he's going to take care of things. Verse number 34. Amen. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Now, I want to get into that on the next message. I think I'm going to stop right there at verse number 34, and I'll read that again on the next message. Amen. I'm enjoying going through these Christmas scriptures. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Well, I thank God for what God's doing. Amen. And if you're not saved, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are saved, the Lord wants to help you. The Lord wants to help you live a better life. And you can obtain that favor with God if you're saved by living right. But if you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ today. Bow your head, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, save that sinner that's near his tail. And Lord, help us as we look in these scriptures. May it draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen.